Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open Peter Ames Carlin's Tonight in Jungleland. So Sophie, what's the angle here? Is this just another Bruce Springsteen biography?
Hey there, Sam, great to be here. Actually, it's the opposite. Carlin flips the script and focuses on the E Street Band as a collective, not just the boss. It's an ensemble biography, and it's fascinating because it shows how a group of misfits found their purpose in service of one driven artist.
Okay, that's got me curious. So it's not just about Springsteen's genius, but about the chemistry of the whole gang?
Exactly. The book starts in Asbury Park, New Jersey, in the late 60s and early 70s. It's a decaying seaside town, gritty and desperate, not all peace and love. And it's there that a young, awkward Springsteen starts assembling his army.
And he knew even then he wasn't a solo act, right? He needed characters to fill out his cinematic vision.
Precisely. And the first character is Clarence Clemons, the big man. His entrance is almost biblical. He walks into a bar during a thunderstorm and it's faded. Clemons brought this gospel-infused R&B soul that grounded Springsteen's poetic lyrics in raw emotion.
The yin and yang. Springsteen's intensity and Clemons' soul. That tension became the band's sound, and their friendship became the heart of the whole operation.
Then you've got the rhythm section, Max Weinberg on drums and Gary Talon on bass. Weinberg was the metronome, keeping Springsteen's sprawling live shows from falling apart. Talent was the quiet anchor.
The early years sound brutal, though. Playing for pennies in dive bars, sleeping on floors. Springsteen was a perfectionist, a tyrant in the best and worst sense. He'd drive them through rehearsals until the early morning, chasing a sound only he could hear.
That's the forge that tempered the band's loyalty. It became almost tribal.
And then Born to Run drops in 1975. Carlin says making that album was a Herculean, nearly psychotic effort. The title track, Jungleland, becomes a metaphor for the band itself. They were their own Jungleland, a territory of fierce loyalty and brutal competition.
Right. And with fame came the darkness. The book doesn't shy away from the drug and alcohol abuse, especially Clemons' descent.
It's not sensationalized, though. It's presented as a symptom of a deeper malaise. What happens when you achieve the dream and you're no longer the underdog? You start wondering what comes next.
That drift led to the band's dissolution in 1989. Springsteen fired everyone and went solo. It wasn't an explosion, but a slow, painful dissolution. The band members felt betrayed. They'd given their lives to this man, and he seemed to abandon them.
That must have been a huge identity crisis. Their whole sense of self was wrapped up in the band.
Absolutely. And then the reunion in 1999 for the reunion tour. Carlin frames it not as a business move, but as a necessary act of healing. They came back older, wiser, scarred. The concerts were a celebration of survival, not just nostalgia.
It was a victory lap, but also a farewell. Clemons' heart was fragile by then.
The heart of the book, for me, is the exploration of Springsteen's leadership. He's not a saint or a monster. He's a man possessed by a vision, a benevolent dictator. He could be nurturing and cruel. He demanded everything, but he also gave them purpose and a family.
And he was generous. The book has stories about him buying houses for band members, covering medical bills. But he also had that ruthless perfectionism and emotional distance.
That dance of love, resentment, and ultimately reconciliation is the central drama.
Carlin also brings the supporting cast to life. Danny Federici's quiet elegance on the organ, Nils Lofgren's virtuosity, Patti Sialfa's shifting dynamics. Each member gets their own story arc. It feels like a novel.
The title, Tonight in Jungleland, captures the danger and beauty of their world. Every performance is a battle, and authenticity is the only currency.
And it's a meditation on fame, right? Success is both a reward and a burden. The adulation can't fill the void of addiction or broken marriage.
Right.
The myth of rock and roll glory often obscures a messier reality. These were people with families and flaws.
The Springsteen-Clemens relationship is the most powerful thread. When Clemens died in 2011, it shook the band. Carlin's description of Springsteen's grief is raw. He lost a brother, not just a bandmate.
The final chapters are a tribute to Clemens and a meditation on mortality. The band has learned to live with loss, carrying those memories into every performance.
So ultimately, this book is about belonging. Each member was a misfit who found a home in the music. Springsteen provided the vision, but the band provided the soul.
It's a celebration of that alchemy, how a group of individuals can become something greater than the sum of their parts. And for anyone who's been part of a team or a family, it resonates deeply.
The one thing I'm taking away is that the greatest art isn't built by individuals, but by collectives. The E Street Band's legacy is a testament to the power of shared dreams and enduring bonds.
And if you want to dive deeper into stories like this, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. In the end, Tonight in Jungleland reminds us that even in the chaos, the echo of a shared journey can resonate for generations. We'll see you in the next one.